Okay, so some interesting questions we've been learning about this week related to Afikoman. There are two basic shilas that we will address. One is the famous Tanai of the Avin Nezer about trying to have Afikoman before Chatzos or afterwards. And number two is a question about eating or drinking after the Afikoman. So it's very halacha l'maisa. I'm not going to ask by a show of hands, but after the Afikoman, before one goes to sleep, does one use scope of some sort or brush your teeth beforehand? That could possibly be a violation of taking the taste out of one's mouth of Afikoman. Or I'll add further. Let's say you wake up early. Nowadays, Alos is quite early. I don't see where it is there, but Alos is going to pop up very soon in a few seconds. Let's say you wake up in the morning 4:58. But let's say a person wakes up early. Unlikely on after a night of Pesach. But let's say you do. So you wake up early, and now you want to brush your teeth or use scope. Are you allowed to? It's still considered kol halayla. Is that going to be a violation of taking the tam, the taste, out of one's mouth of the afikoman? So these are two questions that are addressed in this discussion. So the Gemara tells us that there are two Gemaras that we dealt with. One is the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf, which tells us the famous line. This Mishnah is so famous because this is the smallest Mishnah, the shortest Mishnah that we have throughout all of Shas, right? It's Ein Maftirn Achar Pesach Afikoman. So what's so significant about it being such a short Mishnah? So there's a halacha, this is a completely side point, but we know when you shouldn't walk into a shul when you don't have to. You shouldn't, you know, cut through a shul. You shouldn't use it as a shortcut. But let's say you have to go into the shul for some reason. So you don't just use a shul as a place to hang out. So you're supposed to learn halacha. So what halacha should you learn? So it's recommended to say, Ein maftin pesach achar afikoman, because you just learned halacha. I didn't come in the shul just to hang out. I came to learn. So that's the Mishnah people know by heart in order to avoid that problem. So it says in the Mishnah, Ein maftin achar pesach afikoman. Do not eat anything after the pesach afikoman, which meant in the time of the Beis HaMikdash after the Karban Pesach, not to eat anything. And Bizman Azeh, where there is no Beis HaMikdash, not to eat after the matzah, anything either. So what's the reason? So there are like six, seven different reasons in all the Rishonim. So just a few of them, which you saw hopefully in the sources, the Rashbam tells us there on the side of the page. The reason why a person shouldn't eat after the Pesach is because, after the Afikoman, it's because a person has to eat Derech HaMelachim. A carbon is meant to be a food of royalty. And the way a king eats is that he's full. A king doesn't snack and go through his cabinets, eat more here, and then another hour he eats a little candy here. When he eats, he eats. He fills up his stomach. So if you're going to be eating the Karban Pesach and you're still hungry afterwards, well, then you're not eating like Keder HaMelachim. Right? He writes, because it's a din that you should eat the Pesach al hasova, when you are full and satisfied. And it's true of all other carbonates as well. And it says, L'mashcha is lashon of the gedula, the way a royalty, someone of greatness eats, kederech shamolachim ochlim. So therefore, you should be completely full and have your Karban Pesach as the final part. But if you're eating food afterwards, so then that's clear, you didn't eat the Karban Pesach when you were completely full. So that's the reason for the Rashbam. It's not a problem of tasting something or ruining the taste of the Afikoman. It's about that the Afikoman must be eaten to make you completely full. That's the Rashbam's understanding. The Baal HaMor says, I'm going to go through the different reasons just quickly. The Baal HaMor says there are two reasons. One reason he says, like the Rashbam, that you have to eat the Karban Pesach al Hasova when you're full. But he doesn't say because that's how Melachim, that's how kings eat. He says, because if I'm not full, you know, all of us, there's a Gemara that came up recently in Daf Yomi, those who learn Daf Yomi. So there's a Gemara that talks about whether the fat of meat is considered food. So Gemara says, depends where you live. If you lived in the villages where there were very little people, so there's enough meat to go around. The supply was able to meet demands. So they didn't eat the fat, they had meat. But if you lived in the big cities where there wasn't such a supply and there was a high demand, so then even the fat was eaten. They would eat the meat, they'd eat the fat. So what would happen, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you're having your Karban Pesach, and you're really hungry. You know, your wife isn't cooking anymore. So you have the meat, and it's not enough. So then you're going to, people don't do this nowadays, but I know people who do break the bones, and they start eating, sucking the bone marrow out. So if I'm not full, I'm going to start breaking the bones, and there's an issur d'oraisa of breaking the bones of Karban Pesach. So in order to avoid that, says the Baal HaMor, a person should make sure that he's stuffed up before he gets to the Karban Pesach, lest he come to start breaking the bones to eat the bone marrow. That's his understanding why you should be completely full when eating the Karban Pesach. He also says, the Baal HaMor, that there's a special din that you're supposed to say halo. We know after you finish the afikomen, we finish the second half of halo. So you should be saying halal with the flavor, the taste of the afikomen of the Karban Pesach in your mouth. So these are just a number of different reasons that I brought down in the Rishonim. The Ravid says a different reason. The Ravid says, he says his concern is really not to drink after the afikomen. He doesn't want you to get drunk. As if like for the fifth cup's going to make it any bitter than a fourth cup. Whatever the reason, if you drink too much, then you might be drunk, and then you won't finish the Karban Pesach. The opposite reason, that you're going to be too drunk and sleepy to finish it, and we don't want the Karban Pesach to be left over uneaten. So that's why he says you shouldn't drink anything after the afikomen.
He's equating that with eating.
There's a machlokus whether it refers to drinking only, eating only. He's saying only drinking. He doesn't explain how it connects to eating at all. It's likely that if a person's eating, it might also lead to drinking as well. That might be what the Ravid is trying to get at. And then the Ramban in the Melchemes Hashem in the back, he says that there's an Isser all night. He doesn't explain the reason as much, but there's an Isser all night. So it comes out here a few different things to try to make everything clear. Firstly, what's the reason why you can't eat? And number two is, how long does that Isser last for? Does it last for only Chatzos? Or does it last the entire night? So that's also a second machlok is going on. And that second machlok is about the timing of when it's us to eat, Ad Chatzos or Kol HaLaila, depends on the other Gemara that you saw on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, about when is the mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach, a very famous machlokas. The Mishnah talks about if a person were to touch the Karban Pesach after Chatzos, it's Tameh. There's a din that a carbon left over is called Nosar. Whatever that Zman is, that Zman could be the midnight, that Zman could be the next morning. That's called Nosar. And there's a Midrabanan Tumah that if you were to touch Nosar, so you become Tameh. So the Mishnah says that one who touches Nosar after Chatzos, after midnight, he's Tameh. So the Gemara says, well, that's only according to one opinion. That's only according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, because he holds that the Chatzos is the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So after Chatzos, it's Nosar. How does he know this? So the Gemara brings a brayso. It says Va'ochlu es habasar b'layla hazeh, that one should eat the Karban Pesach that evening. And he says it says Laila by Karban Pesach, and it says Laila by Makas Bechoros. It says Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, on this night. So he says just like Makas Bechoros took place when at Chatzos, at midnight, so too Karban Pesach should be eaten only at Chatzos. That's the din of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I'll tell you an interesting din in just a second. Rabbi Kiva argues, says no, you have all night. They didn't, Makat Bechoros wasn't ended, at, didn't it started at night, but what does it say? Halo Nemar, it says Chipazon ad Shas Chipazon, it says you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach during Chipazon, when you're hurrying out. When were they hurrying out? They didn't leave Mitzrayim at Chatzos. They left Mitzrayim in the morning. So you had all night to eat the Karban Pesach. So I'll tell you what the Briskers explain. The Briskers explain that really Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Chaim Chaim. It's really true that Chatzos happened, Makas Bechoros took place at midnight, and they left in the morning. They're both true. There were two Shibudim that took place. There was a Shibud of the slavery, and there was a Shibud of being in a physical place in Mitzrayim. So at Chatzos, they were actually freed of slavery. That ended, but they weren't freed from the land of Mitzrayim until the morning when they actually left. So these are two different Shibudim that were taking place, which ended at two different places. The Briskers explain, it also connects to, I'm not remembering all the numbers here, but there's a machlokas, how long was Shibud Mitzrayim? Do you go back to Yitzhak Avinu, or do you go back from the time they entered into Mitzrayim? He says those two different calculations depend on whether it's Shibud of being under the slavery or being outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. Those are two different Shibudim that took place.
Isn't there such a concept that the slavery ended a year before?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But this is what the Briskers, this is how the Briskers explain this. So it comes out for the Karban Pesach is the Karban Pesach, is it din to eat it at Chatzos? And afterwards is Nosar? Or is it to eat it in the morning when they actually left Mitzrayim by Yom? And you have all night to eat Karban Pesach. I'll share with you another interesting din. I'm trying to remember this just for a second here. There's a fascinating discussion. It's based on the Rishonim and Achronim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu kept all the mitzvahs. He kept Kol Torah Kula. There's a Yushalmi that says he kept Shabbos. And we know the Gemara in Baruch Hu says he davened, he wore tefillin. There's a number of different, there's a beautiful Baal Tanya that says he blows the shofar. that every year in Rosh Hashanah he blows a shofar, which means he's blowing a new neshama in each individual, giving it a new start, a fresh slate. So many different sources of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he keeps the mitzvahs. We have sugyas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning Torah. So there's an interesting shaila that comes out. We know the Gemara tells us, actually very appropriate for this week's parsha, Tazria Mitzorah. And Mitzorah, we know that Miriam was a Mitzaras. Not this week's parsha, but she was a Mitzaras. And the Gemara in Zvachim says, well, who was the one who's going to inspect her? Who was the Kohen? There was only one Kohen at the time. It was Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron HaKohen was a relative, and a relative cannot inspect another relative of Tzaras. So who's going to inspect her? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who ba'atzmo, he's a Kohen, he's going to inspect. So what's the Shaila? So there's a Hakdama to Maseches Sofrim. I should have gotten this out, it's just coming to my mind now. Maseches Smachos. Maseches Smachos is one of the small Masechtas at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Toseftas of some sort. And it talks about Smachos, is real euphemism, really talks about Avelos there. So there's a little introduction. We don't have introductions really to like Toseftas or anything, or Mishnayos, but there's introduction. So there it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who performed Makas Becharis on his own. So they ask Shaila, well, if Kadosh Baruch Hu was a Kohen, so how is he able to kill? You're not allowed to kill people because he's touching Tumas Meis. And even Goyim, there's Tumas Meis even by Goyim. There's a Mishnah, and I forget what the Mishnah is, but the Mishnah that even Goyim have Tumas Meis to them. So how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu... how could he touch the mason? If he himself, Kadosh Baruch Hu, injected him with some type of misa, that's a violation of him being a Kohen. So what they explain is, based on this Tosefta in Smachos, that, not mason, interesting. Now mason's the only one that's already dead to bury them, not to kill them. So I'm not sure we have a Kohen ever allowed to do that, though. Could he? I don't think he could kill, even for the purpose of a mitzvah. So what they explain is, this Indian here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he injected them with some type of lethal poison, but they didn't die until the morning. So he didn't touch them. He gave them the injection. But we know when a person has the death penalty in Texas and they get the injection, it takes a few minutes until they actually die. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the injection, but they weren't dead just yet. It took 5 minutes, for this case, it took 4 hours until they finally died. So therefore, they weren't tamei. And it says it works perfectly because the very first Tosefta says the halacha of a ghost is. A ghost is a person who's almost dead but not quite dead. Is a ghost is viewed as someone who's mace or not mace. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made them into a ghost ace, but they weren't dead yet, therefore there's no violation of Tumas mace. That's why he says there's an Indian of Chatzos, something took place, and then Bayom is when the mace actually finished.
And that would the screaming have been the Mephoros, not the families?
It could have been, I think it was the families, but either way, the families, when they saw that the Bechor became in such a state, that it also was deserving of a scream.
It seems ironic, because Pinchas was given Kahuna after he was
murdered.
And he killed someone, yeah.
So it almost flips it around.
Yeah, but the whole story of Pinchas is a fascinating story. There's a lot to talk about in that whole Maisa of Pinchas.
If you can't be Maisa as Kohen, correct. You awarded Kohen. Right. Status.
Right, but when you do it for the kin of Hashem, to protect the Kadosh Baruch Hu and defend the Kavod Hashem, so...
So it's interesting because it's about Hatzos, right? We learn it very... It's
Kachatzos.
It's not exactly Hatzos.
Well, that's the Machlokas Gemara, how to interpret the word Kachatzos. One shot was that, of course, now everyone agrees it was Hatzos, but it was exactly Hatzos, precisely
Hatzos. Because I thought maybe, why do we hold precisely at Hatzos when... If it's about Hatzos, maybe...
No, even though the Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, Kachatos, around Chatzos, he only said Kachatos because Paro didn't really understand the calculations. So he said, oh, Kachatos. But in our calculation, the Kavdash Baruch Hu's calculation, it was Mamish, precisely.
Mamish,
yeah.
Exactly.
There's three different pshatim in the Gemara, how to interpret the word Kachatos, but everybody agrees it happened precisely at Chatzos.
But you're saying that was only the start of the death, not the actual...
According
death.
To that pshat in the exact the beginning of Smachos. So now what comes out from all this anyways is we have two discussions. Number one is the reason why is it us to eat after Afikomen. Number two is how long does that Isser last for? Does it only last until Chatzos? Where all night long you cannot remove the ta'am, the taste of the Afikomen from the mouth. So if you take a look at the Avnei Nezer, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see this on the second page here, in Os Hei. There's a famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer writes, we'll read this together inside, in Os Hei, it's found in the Chubas Avnei Nezer, Or Chaim, Simon Shin Pei Aleph, Os Hei, Balkei Nira Ladina. Halach Lamaisa Avnei Nezer says, Leman Nidomer Eina Pesach Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who holds, that the Karban Pesach is only eaten into Chatzos. He says, Hu adin de matzah. Matzah as well has the same halacha. Dila'acher Chatzos mutter le'echol. After Chatzos, you're allowed to eat. It ends at that point. U'belav hachinira. Divadai ein chiv sheyishar ta'matz Pesach matzah befiv rak with mana mitzvah. You don't have to leave the taste of your mouth the next week of Pesach, right? Now, everyone agrees that the next week doesn't have to, you don't have to fast the next week and leave the taste there. You only have to leave the taste so long as there's a mitzvah. But once the mitzvah is over, namely at Chatzos, you may eat after that point. V'yal kein, this is the famous Tanai. Im b'tchilas ha-se'uda, in the beginning of the meal, o be'emsor, you're somewhere in the middle of the Seder, ro'esh shukar v'l'chatzos. You realize that the Divrei Torah is beautiful, the manashanas are very beautiful from the children, and you're running out of time. And I think Chatzos is like 1 o'clock now. So now Chatzos is quickly approaching. So what should you do? You can't get the afikomen in? Says the Avnei Nezer, Yochel kazayis matzah al tanai, eat a kazayis matzah and make the following stipulation. And say, im halacha kerebel ben azariah, which means I only have until chatzos to finish eating. So this kazayis I'm eating right now is l'shem afikomen. And then you should pause. Let's say it's 12:50. Wait 10 minutes, because you can't eat anything afterwards, according to Blazer ben Azariah. So wait 10 minutes. Once Chatzos hits, now it's over for him. For him, it's a new day. You can eat anything you want after Chatzos. So Yamtin ad lacha Chatzos. Wait until after midnight. And then Yochel Suda. So then have your soup and your chicken and your kugel. And then achar kach. Then continue the meal. And now assume like maybe you hold like the Chachamim, which says you have all night eat Afikomen. And then Yochel Shein is Afikomen. Eat a second eating of Afikomen. Then you're going to fulfill both stadim. Because im halacha kerebel ben azariah, which is it's only at chatzos, yotzi b'afikomen rishon, you fulfilled your needs with the afikomen that you had before 1 o'clock in the morning. And achar chatzos, after midnight, mutter lechol dvar macherim, you're allowed to eat whatever you want, because there's no iser of having the taste in your mouth beyond chatzos, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Vimalacha Krebi Akiva, who holds that you have to eat the afikomen ad yalud amar shachar until 5 o'clock in the morning, then you're yotzi b'afikomen hasheni.
So the Abinazah is quoting the halacha based on the Chachamim versus the Rabbi Ariel Azar ben Azariah.
So this is the famous Abinazah quoting these two opinions, and that's what he suggests to make such a Tanai.
Once you've had the first afikomen, you're good to call it.
Correct. You certainly are good, but you're still hungry. You want to eat your meal. You want to say the rest of the Seder. Right. So you're right. You certainly can end there. Like I try to end it. I'll tell you why in just a second. I try to end everything before Chatzos. I don't have to eat a second one after Chatzos. But let's say you're in the middle of the meal. You haven't said everything yet, and your wife made all the food. You don't want to go to waste. Right. So now if you end it there after Afikomen, that means all the chicken she made is done. So then in order to satisfy that second opinion and eat the meal, so you could assume like the halacha, like Rabbi Akiva, to get the rest of the meal in. But you're right, you don't have to.
But even for Rabbi Akiva, even if you have the meal afterwards, so you've had the afikomen beforehand.
No, because you made that tanai. You made the tanai in saying that only if you hold like a Blazer ben Azariah. If not, then this I'm eating just stam matzah. It's not an afikomen according to Rabbi Akiva.
How much do you have to eat for the tanai?
You have to have a kazayas. The kazayas, the regular shir, yeah.
David brought up the question, but then what about the zech? What about the zecher and the Indian of being full before you eat the afikomen?
It's a great question. Excellent question. I'm not sure what a good answer. It's very good. This wouldn't work well according to that. You would have to say that the idea of being full is not going to be ma'akev the afikomen. It's a very good question. Very good. Yeah, but the two kazesim, it's a whole discussion, but correct. It's not as much as two kazesim of a regular matzah, right. Use your pamphlets and stuff, the different measurements. Okay. Okay, so now I'll bring to you two basic reasons why a number of the Achronim do not like the Avnei Nezer. Number one is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Brisker said that there is an opinion that not only does the Afikomen have to be complete, but so too the rest of Hallel and benching and the final cup. All of that has to be complete before Chatzos. So according to this opinion, you're only satisfying the eating of the Afikomen before, but you're not satisfying all the other dinim that have to go up before Chatzos, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. And for that reason, he felt that l'chadchila, a person should not rely on this Afikomen. It's interesting, the way many of us grew up, in our own homes, or our parents or our own homes, how we're creating it, the yeshivas are doing wonderful things. in terms of all the Divrei Torah and the Marashanas. But the way, if you go to a house, I've never been Zohar, but supposedly you go to the house of great Rabbanim, they don't spend hours at Divrei Torah. They do maybe after the meal. But during the Haggadah, they get everything done. They go just read it as if it's like a tefillah. They say it. Maybe they'll have someone sing the Hallel together. And they get everything. It moves very nice and seamlessly. And there's no question at all. They're not going to get a chatzos with everything in. Nafi Komen and the Hallel and the benching and the final coast. It's all going to get in. They will get everything very quickly. It's not going to be a problem at all. And if then after they're done, so then they stay up as late as they can stay up in order to learn and talk the Divrei Torah. Exactly. That's after the fact. The way we've been raised is to add the Mefarshim during, and the kids are bouncing off the walls. They're starving now. And you have to think of ways to keep the younger kids entertained while the older kids are saying the Divrei Torah. It's not the way it happens in the house of many Rabbanim. But that's because there's an idea that everything should be gotten in. The entire Seder should be complete before Chatzos. That's one reason why. Some Achronim are against the Tanai of the Avni Nezer.
How does Rabbi know what happens in Purim? He's never been there.
I've heard from many.
Other children, when the children ask the question.
Yeah, this is how much in jest, but the Gemara only says that the children should ask questions, but it doesn't say you have to answer the questions. But no, you're right.
Is that why you end by?
And also, I like to wake up early. I don't like to stay up late. Like my brother-in-law in Brooklyn, his entire family, they don't like hold by zmanim. They do hold by zmanim, but like they don't sleep. So they mamish. The whole family stays up all night long learning the Haggadah until Vasik in the next morning. The entire family.
All night.
They do it all night. My brother-in-law is very religious, so I can never pull that off. Yeah, right. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So, the second reason why Rav Moshe is against the opinion of the Avnei Nezer is because, even though you're right, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says the Midiraisa, the mitzvah to eat the Karim Pesach is only until Chatzos, the Rav Elazar ben Azariah agrees that there's an Isser Midirbanon not to eat beyond that as well. That finish everything now, and even though really you shouldn't taste anything afterwards until Chatzos, he tries to prove that even after Chatzos, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, don't eat anything else until the morning. So if you make that Tanai and eat after Chatzos, you're even violating Rav Elazar ben Azariah's opinion as well, and therefore he was not comfortable at all with this position, this Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. So let's talk about the Halacha L'maisa just for a second about eating after the Afikoman. So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tuf Ayin Ches. Shulchan Aruch writes a very clear halacha: Acher Afikomen Ein Lechol Shum Davar. Not to eat anything at all after the Afikomen. So what's included in this iser? So the Mishnah Berurah goes so far to say, Ubidyeved Im Ochel Acherav Shum Davar. Let's say one did eat something afterwards. So there are some poskim. The Shear Tzion quotes from the Chok Yaakov that okay, what's the big deal? You ate something, fine, go to sleep. Mishnah Berurah says, no. If you ate something after the Afikomen, Yachzor v'yochel kezayis matzah shmura, the shame Afikomen. You accidentally, put a candy in your mouth and you ate it. That's it, you're done. You have to go back and sit down and eat another kezayis Afikomen in order to satisfy. And if you thought you were full then, imagine how you're going to fill now. So make sure not to eat anything after you had the Afikomen. That's a very, very chumrah position of the Mishnah Berurah.
Why is it not like a brachalo at all? Like to go to wash again, to eat and to bench again. It's like the person knows.
It's a tzarech mitzvah. It's not a brachalo at all. There are those who hold. I wanted to do this with my family. I haven't done this yet. I did it once for a certain particular case. But many on Shabbos Friday night or even Shabbos day will bench before dessert. And then they'll say a new bracha on dessert. And it satisfies different questions of which desserts to say brachas on. So people do this. So when there's a certain purpose behind it, so then you'll be allowed to.
Say brachas,
even though, right. Answer. Yeah. So there is the people, you can walk outside this way. Walking outside causes an automatic hefsek of some sort, a hesek hadas. So it wouldn't be considered bracha shein etzricha.
Do we hold by that?
I raised that question in the...
Do we hold by what you just said?
I'm going to get to the mouthwash. I was going to address that. Very good. I didn't see it explicitly discussed, but I think it's very relevant. So
do we hold by what the rabbi just said, the Mishnah Berurah says about...
Yeah, sure.
You should eat the matzah.
Yeah, the person needs it. Exactly, yep. So then, before getting to the mouthwash, so then it says, the Mishnah Berurah writes, With regards to drinking something, however, so then he said that's a machlokas in the poskim whether you're allowed to drink something. And he thinks that a person should be machmir not to drink something that is alcoholic, something that's going to make you drunk. And lichachila, not to drink anything except for water. Water you're allowed to have. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But it sounds like there are those opinions who allow any type of drink. So if we're machmir not to drink anything, water would be the only exception. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, what would come out is that mouthwash should certainly be permitted. You're not drinking it. It's much less than drinking. You're cleaning out your mouth. So the truth is, I really didn't see this discussed about the mouthwash. I would imagine it would be permitted to have it. At the same time, something tells me that it's going to, since it removes a taste from your mouth, it's very strong. Water doesn't remove the taste from your mouth. It just drinks. It satiates you. It quenches your thirst, but it doesn't remove the taste. So I didn't see this discussed. Lanias daiti. I don't want to pass it because I didn't talk to anyone about this. But it seems to me that one should not use mouthwash after the afikomen because of this halacha.
Some of the mouthwash are alcoholic.
Right. Yeah, that's the. But you're not drinking it though. You're not drinking it though. The Mishnah was the only time I'm drinking it. So I don't know, but Levi Omer that one should not have, one should be machmir not to have mouthwash. As discussing that might be for some people, not to, you know.
Until the morning,
exactly. Let's discuss the morning now, yeah.
Why is it an issue? We already have a full cup of wine after
going. Right, it's a very, very good question.
Can you swish with water?
Yeah, lechor, if you're having the wine, once you have the wine in your mouth already, you could swish around a little bit and use that as to clear it out.
With water, it can clean.
Right. Yeah.
How do we
sure.
deal with the fourth cup then?
No, so that's a great question. I'm not sure how they explain in terms of the tam. You're allowed to eat it and drink it because that's part of the Seder. But the wine is seemingly it's going to get rid of that flavor in there, so I don't know how to explain it from the taste. I'm not sure. That's a very good question. I'm not sure either.
Maybe it's attached to the Korban Pesach.
It is, but in the end, physically, it does remove some of the taste. So I don't know how to explain that. It's a very good question. The Rishon Zalman dealt with an interesting question as well, which sounds like it's not only about tam, though. Let's say a person were to swallow the afikomen, crush it into small crumbs and swallows it whole.
Exactly,
you don't taste it. If you swallow something, you're not going to really taste it. If you're not chewing it. So even though in that case where a person swallowed it, and he was yod to the mitzvah of afikomen, and there's no taste because he didn't chew it, even then the Rishon Zalman Arbach Paskin that you shouldn't eat anything afterwards. Even though there's no tam to speak of, there is some in it of just don't eat or drink anything afterwards, regardless of the tam that may or may not be there. Okay, so now let's talk about waking up in the morning. We said, let's say a guy goes to sleep and he wakes up early in the morning. I don't know who's waking up so early in the morning, but let's say it happens. So it's brought down in the poskim that they quote from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the Tav Pei Aleph Siv Beis that Chayv Adam Lasok Behilchos Pesach V'Yitzis Mitzrayim. A person should be engaged in learning all night until Ad Shitech Satenu Shein, until he's overtaken by sleep. So, which for most of us take place even before we finish the Seder. So we're really exempt from this halacha. So it sounds like, based on this, the only halacha of afikomen is only so long as you're not tired. But once you went to sleep, and the Seder is over for you, so when you wake up in the morning, the issue of eating after the afikomen no longer exists. That's the position of a number of achronim. That's the Prima Gadim, the Chog Yaakov, the Baal Tanya writes this way as well. That's according to many opinions. But then he quotes from others that say otherwise, that no, if you wake up in the morning and it's still prior to Alos HaShachar, meaning it's still Kol HaLaila, the issue of eating after the afikomen still exists, in which case a person who wakes up in the morning shouldn't eat anything, and perhaps according to the Chumrah that we're perhaps establishing right now, is you shouldn't use scope or brush your teeth either, and that that becomes according to, that's the psak according to this halacha. According to before Alos HaShachar. Yeah. Once Alos comes, it's ready in the morning now. So again, Alos we said was 4:58. Next week it's going to be, I don't know, 4:51. I don't know how the clock is working exactly. But it's going to be quite early. No one here, after going, no one's going to sleep before 1:30, I assume. 1, maybe. So 1 o'clock to 5 a.m., no one here, I don't think, is waking up at 5 a.m. to go eat something, to brush their teeth. So it's not really so relevant, but it certainly is interesting in terms of the halacha. Now, I guess I'll just mention, once it came up, about using scope. You said alcoholic, whether you could use scope on Pesach and Amitah, just the kashas, the chametz shebo. So that's, of course, a big discussion, whether or not scope is something that's considered edible. It's roi lachilas kelev or not. I don't know if any dog's going to actually drink scope. If you fill up their bowl of water with scope, they're probably not going to drink it. Unlikely it's going to be considered a kedei achilas kelev. That being said, there are many chumras when it comes to Pesach, and we try to stay far away as possible from putting any chametz in our mouth, even though we're not going to drink it, even though it's not roy. It is advisable to get non-alcoholic, those that are approved by kosher. Another example would be many creams. Many creams have oats in them, so that's chametz. But it's not edible. No dog will ever eat cream, so it's not really edible. But that being said, any type of cream, yeah, skin cream. So that being said, Avinu has it. Most of them have oats. Oats is very good for the skin, supposedly. So now, could a person use such a thing? So Rav Yashiv is quoted as amongst other many poskim that one should avoid this if possible. There's a concept the Gemara in Yuma says that sicha kishtia. Sicha is the process of rubbing oil or cream on the body. So sicha has the same status of shtia, the Gemara proves in Maseches Yuma. It's like drinking something. So even though it's not really edible, it's not really drinkable, when putting on the skin, it's as if it's being absorbed in the body, says the Gemara. So in light of this, it's actually a discussion in general. Many shampoos and soaps have non-kosher fats, non-kosher animal fats in them. So now they raise a question, can I use a shampoo? Look at the back. Take a look the next time you have soap or shampoo. Look at the back. There's going to be some type of non-kosher fat. Can I rub it in my skin? Is that like drinking animal fat of a pig, let's say? So the Mishnah Berurah actually addresses this question of Ber Halacha. And he is lenient. The Gemara is, it's a Halacha and Shabbos about not using soap on Shabbos in general. So in their comment, he makes a small comment there that you're allowed to use even non-kosher fats for soap. Other poskim argue that says you cannot. So even though in general it's machlokas and there's what to rely on during the rest of the year, on Pesach we try to be very machmir, not to put anything with chametz, oats, or any chametz anywhere on our body, in our body, we try to avoid it at all costs. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here. Nitz Hashem, next week, we should definitely finish the Masechta, the paragraph next week. Is it Kedai to have a shir next week?